Questions and Answers on the Bible. Chapter 118. Unity and Uniformity. Now that the Church is extending its missionary operations into all the world, and the different beliefs that divide it into sects must be a great stumbling block to the heathen and extremely puzzling to the converts, does it not seem that it would be well if all could agree as to the essential doctrines to be taught, and thus present a united front to the heathen world? Did not Christ say that when his disciples are one, then the world shall believe? Without the slightest approach to unity, there may be the most perfect uniformity. A lot of marbles may be exactly uniform as regards size and shape and color, but there is no unity among them. So there may be uniformity among people without unity. Since the days of Constantine, strenuous efforts have been put forth by the ecclesiastical politicians to produce uniformity, and these efforts have been thought to be in the interests of Christian unity. In some cases, uniformity has been attained, but there has been no more unity than there is in a gross of buttons fastened together by a string. The Bible is full of the idea of unity in the Church of Christ, but we do not read so much about uniformity. This unity is to be the unity of life and growth, and not a mere outward connection. In Christ's prayer to the Father for his disciples, he said, "And the glory that you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one." Here we see that the glory of the Lord is to effect the union of believers, and the union is to be that of the Father and the Son. The union of the Father and the Son is a union of spirit. We cannot comprehend this union, but we may know that it is not a forced union, but that it results from their very nature. They have one life. Their thoughts and purposes are the same, not because they come together and compare notes and agree to be alike, but because one life is in them both. So the union of believers is to be a vital union, or it is not any union at all. It is not accomplished by strife and debate and decisions of majorities, but by yielding the mind to Christ and hearing his voice. They are to be united by the mind and spirit of Christ. The life the Father and the Son in each member of the Church will produce the most perfect union in the whole body. For the human body is the most perfect example of unity, and it is the example that the Bible gives us. Christ is the head of the body, the Church, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the Church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And he is the head of the body, the Church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. In the human body there are many members, and each member has a different office from the rest. There is not uniformity of action among the members, but there is the most perfect unity. All work together in perfect harmony for one object. So it is in the body of Christ. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. This gives no ground for the idea that there may be divisions in the Church of Christ, one division believing one thing, and another division believing and practicing another thing. God has tempered the body together, that there should be no schism in the body. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. The Apostle's exhortation is, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. But let it be borne in mind that this union is not artificial, but natural, not the human nature, however, but the divine nature. The unity of belief in the Church is not performed by the Church coming together, and the majority defining the creed to be believed. The Church cannot define doctrine, nor make laws for itself or anybody else. The Church of Christ is made up of all who obey the Lord's commands, not a body to issue commands. The head directs, the body obeys. God speaks. Each one must listen to his voice, for faith comes by hearing the word of God, and no man can give faith to another. It is the gift of God.